Thank you for joining us today in this conversation, The Sword and the Trowel. Today, Pastor Tom and I talk about what the Lord has been doing through Founders Ministries over the past year and what we're looking at doing, hopefully, Lord willing, in the year 2025 as well. So we talk about Founders Press, the different conferences that we're doing, the podcast, the Institute of Public Theology, even Know Your Roast Coffee that we have recently launched as well. This episode is brought to you by Squirrely Joe's Coffee, the Miller's Grove Soap Company, and Reconciled Leather Co. I hope this is a helpful conversation to you. Take a listen. Welcome to The Sword and the Trowel. The Sword and the Trowel is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Graham Gundin.
And I'm Tom Askell.
And today, Tom and I want to talk about some of the things that the Lord in his kindness has allowed Founders to accomplish over the past year. And we also want to look at the year ahead as we come into 2025. And also, we want to talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions and how we think about those things as pastors.
Yeah, every year, for as long as I can remember now, being a pastor, between Christmas and New Year's is a time of reflection for me. And even leading up to it, this year has been especially so because this is the five-year anniversary of the release of By What Standard. And so I've spent a good deal of time over the last couple of months just thinking through what all was going on 5 years ago. But I try to take time at the end of the year just to reflect upon my life and what has happened previous 12 months, thinking about the year ahead and how I would love to try to steward the days ahead, as however many the Lord would give me. But it's a good opportunity, you know, to think about the temporariness of life and the responsibility we have to give an account for all the days that God entrusts to us.
So what does that usually look like for you in that week? How do you do that?
Well, our offices are typically closed, and so there's things that have to be done, but the church office is not going to be functioning as it normally does. Founders will also not be functioning the way we normally do. So it's a lot of time at home, and usually time outside. This, you know, South Florida winter's great, so you can see outside in the sunshine. And a lot of alone time, just to meditate, to think, pray, read scripture. Maybe, you know, if there's books I'm finishing up, which there are a couple of those right now, just trying to unplug a little bit and think through, okay, what's going on the last 12 months? Mm. And I do keep a journal, and so that's a tool that I can use, and I have been doing that again over the last several months and reflecting on 5 years ago. And then looking at the things coming up, and I schedule things out pretty good ways. And so I'll look at responsibilities that I've accepted and then just the normal course of life. And when I do that, I always think in terms of my priorities, and that's shifted over the years, you know, but I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a pastor, I work in Founders. Once kids got out of the house, that shifted a bit, because before then it was pretty easy to say, okay, I'm a pastor after all of those things, but now my kids are gone, but I got grandkids. They're not living with me, but they're around me, and I want to invest in them, spend time with them. And so that's been a challenge. You and I have talked about that. You've helped me to think through some of that as well. But it's a time of reflection and preparation, planning, exhaling, and then taking some deep breaths for what I see coming up in front of me.
Yeah, I think that's so important, especially in the modern, postmodern world that we live in, because we so seldomly give ourselves an opportunity to just kind of slow down, let our minds and our brains kind of unravel and rest and consider things in a sustained manner. And, you know, I think that's one of the helpful things about journaling. I've myself kind of started and stopped and started and stopped journaling and have not yet been able to make it a sustained habit. But as I do it, I do recognize, like, you know, just even at the end of the day, just taking 5 minutes just to slow down, stop, consider what has happened. Because, you know, we fill our minds so much with the things that we got to get done, our deadlines, reading books, listening to podcasts, listening to sermons, always having things before us and on a screen, phone calls, conversations. It's just we rarely give our minds time to just rest and consider and relax and think things through. So I think that's important to do. I think it really is kind of part of a Sabbath principle, to give your mind time to rest and to consider things. I think it's important to do on a daily basis before bed, just to kind of allow your mind to do that. It's important to do on a weekly basis on the Sabbath if you can. But I think, you know, like you say, you know, at the end of the year, especially, that tends to be a marker. And there's something about, you know, Ebenezers that you put down. And if you don't give your mind time to rest and to think about those things, you don't put those Ebenezer, you don't put those stones of remembrance down where the Lord has worked. And then you also don't give yourself time to go back to those stones of remembrance, to look at those things that the Lord has done, to consider those things that the Lord has done, because you're always pushing forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And again, every person has multiple levels of responsibility. And again, my priorities, I think, in terms of what has God called me to be, first and foremost, a Christian, you know, so I need to be dealing with my own heart, my own soul before the Lord, before anything else. I love Donna. She's my wife. We're celebrating, God willing, coming up our 45th anniversary this year in 2025. And after being a Christian, that's my number one priority. But she can't be my priority above my priority with Christ, or I'm not loving her the way that I'm supposed to love her and care for her. So I think about that, think about the other responsibilities God has placed upon me and opportunities that he's given to me. And how do I steward those well? How did I do the year past? And, you know, there's always regrets or sorrows, wish you could have done better. I mean, nobody lives the best that they could possibly live. I use Psalm 90 quite a bit. I'm just looking at it. I've been reading over it some the last week or two. This is that prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You're God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight, or but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. My temporariness in this world, the few years that God gives us, however long they might be, is it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the eternality of God. You know, to contemplate everlasting to everlasting, I mean, what does that mean? And how can we conceive of it? And we're time-bound creatures. Our language is limited by time. And not so with God. He transcends all of that. And so it's a healthy reflection to just remember how small, insignificant we are. And we're just a few hand breaths here. Our life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And yet the kingdom of God goes on. His eternal purposes continue to unfold. And at the latter end of my life, that weighs upon me more heavily. You know, I think, okay, I got far more life behind me than I got in front of me. So what do I do with the years that remain, however long they may be or short they may be? And I want to live well. Moses, in the middle of this psalm, says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So that's what I want to do. Is I want to grow in wisdom and think, okay, this is what's been. I can't do anything about that. But God willing, I can redeem the time going forward.
You know, I've come across some Christians who think that making a New Year's resolution is unwise and even sinful sometimes. You know, you let your yes be yes and your no be no. We shouldn't be concerned about making resolutions or swearing oaths or anything like that. What would you say?
Well, I would say that, say that to Jonathan Edwards. I mean, you know, his famous resolutions that he wrote when he was a young man. My goodness, I mean, who's been as useful as Jonathan Edwards? And, and I could aspire to be as a tenth as useful as he was in his lifetime. And in fact, you know, we've got this wonderful book by Joy Tomlinson, which is it's a good book. It'd be a good book to work through this coming year if you haven't done it. Reflections and Devotions on Jonathan Edwards' 70 Resolutions. It's called Serious Joy. And I love what Joey has done in this book, because he's grouped Edwards' resolutions around themes and reads the resolutions. He updates the language so that you can see the original, the way Edwards wrote it, and then kind of get a modern rendition of it, and then just some pastoral meditative reflections on it. One of the chapters is on resolution 16, 31, and 36. And this is the modern way he renders them. Resolution 16 of Edwards is resolved never to speak evil of anyone resulting in his dishonor unless it accomplishes good. And 31 says something similar, a little bit longer. And then resolution 36, resolve never to speak evil of anyone unless it is for some particular good. What a resolution. Mm-hmm. Imagine if everyone in your church were to take that resolution seriously. I mean, gossip would cease. You know, we wouldn't be whispering about, did you hear what so-and-so did? Or mm-hmm. So what Joey does is he takes us into the biblical principles that obviously were operating in Edwards' mind.
Yeah.
And shows how this is a good thing for Christians to meditate on, to contemplate, and to resolve to live that way, whether you do that with a New Year's resolution or not.
Yeah, you know, I think we all have resolutions. We all resolve to not do things. We all resolve to do certain things. Sometimes we don't iterate or speak those resolutions out loud, but we all have them, whether we acknowledge them or not. And it actually, I think, is a good thing to write them out and to say them and to clarify them so that we know and we can call to mind, oh, I said that I would not do this particular thing. I'm not going to. And so they become almost like a mantra by which we live life. And they can very often, and I think this is what Edwards does, just taking scriptural principles and kind of reshaping them into very digestible short phrases that we can remember, memorize, and live our lives by. But, you know, our confession also in chapter 23, the Second London Baptist Confession has a chapter on lawful oaths and vows. Mm-hmm. And though a resolution I don't think would qualify as an oath, they I think fall within the same type of category. You know, you're not, when you make a resolution, you're not making an oath to become an officer, a civil magistrate, or a church mm-hmm. officer. Mm-hmm. You're not giving a vow like you would in a marriage ceremony, but you're still saying these are things that I'm going to do, and I'm going to try do my utmost to fulfill these resolutions that I have that I've come up with. And you know, our chapter 23 talks about the fact that sometimes lawful oaths and vows can be acts of worship if done in the right context.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's what the Bible tells us. And you can do so now with Miller's Grove soap. Miller's Grove is taking dominion over God's good earth by putting grass-fed beef tallow, milk, honey, and essential oils, along with other gifts from creation, into their luxurious soap and bath products. Miller's Grove is done right here in Cape Coral. It's by one of our elders and his wife and family. They unashamedly fear the Lord and seek to build his kingdom as they are building this business. They never use like harmful seed oils or synthetic detergents or fragrance oils containing phthalates or parabens. Listeners of the Sword and Trowel have an opportunity to get a special discount by using Founders at the checkout for a 10% off of your first purchase. So remember, life is short, fear God, build his kingdom, and use the good soap, which is Miller's Grove soap.
We're excited to highlight one of our newest Founders Press titles by Jacob Tanner called Resist Tyrants, Obey God: Lessons Learned from the Life and Times of John Knox. John Knox was one of the most remarkable pastors, thinkers, and reformers that the Western Church has ever produced. Born in the turbulent era of the 16th century, Knox became known as a bold defender of the Christian faith, and he suffered greatly for the sake of the gospel of Christ and for his church. Despite the immense conflict with the Roman papacy, various kingdoms, and even his own countrymen, Knox made it abundantly clear that he would resist tyranny and obey God at every turn. Half biography and half historical theology, Jacob Tanner examines the life and times of this courageous reformer to see what modern Christians can learn from him. I encourage you to pre-order this book today at press.founders.org.
Yeah, so it's good. I don't oppose anybody that would make New Year's resolutions. I don't typically do that, but I have goals. Mm-hmm. I have things that I want to attain and strive for. And again, according to my understanding of my responsibilities before God, my priorities, I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in knowledge. I want to grow in holiness. I want to be more like Jesus. And there's a paradox in the Christian life. Mm-hmm. We talk about this a lot. I try to use this in counseling and preaching as well. The more you grow up, the more you grow down. You know, the deeper you grow in your relationship with the Lord, the more you see you need to grow mm-hmm. in your relationship with the Lord. And I take great comfort in the Apostle Paul in tracing the trajectory of his life. In 1 Corinthians 15, he describes himself as the least of the apostles. Mm-hmm. You know? And then in Ephesians 3, a few years later, he describes himself as the least of the saints. Mm-hmm. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he describes himself as the chief of sinners, which was a later letter as well. So you look at his trajectory and you think, man, you know, what's going on with Paul? Poor self-image, you know, Paul, you need to get your chin up. No, he's growing in grace. And, you know, it's, what was it, John Newton, I think, right, at the end of his life, I only know two things, you know, that I'm a great sinner and Jesus Christ is a great Savior. Mm-hmm. And so to grow in grace is to take God's word seriously, apply it to your life, to see more of the beauty, the goodness of Jesus Christ, to be more overwhelmed of God's love for you, to have a greater hatred of your own sin, things that maybe even a few years ago weren't as a burden to your conscience as they are now, and to realize that, you know, your life is completely dependent upon mm-hmm. the grace that God has given us in his Son, the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, and the beautiful, wonderful thing about that is, you know, the Lord does that. The Lord does that in all of his children. He causes them to grow in grace. It's not like, boy, I hope he does this. I really want this. It may not happen in our timing and exactly the way that we want it to happen, but we will grow in grace. We will grow in godliness because he who began a good work in you will carry it on mm-hmm. to completion. And, mm-hmm. and it takes time. It takes as much time as he wants it to take.
Yeah. And I think about some of the older saints we have in the church, you know, or have in our families. One of the great blessings of life is being around people who've walked with God for a while. Mm-hmm. And we've got them right now. I love listening to them. You see them. You know something of the challenges that they're enduring mm-hmm. at this stage of their lives as they're coming to the end of their journey. And to see them rejoicing in Christ, to see them hoping, to see them still applying themselves to the ordinary means of grace. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eleanor Evett, who died a couple of years ago, is the last charter member of our church. She died at 104. Mm-hmm. And as you knew something was seriously wrong if she was not here when we gather for worship. And I've been thinking about this. This is part of my reflections over the last few weeks, is the power of the ordinary means of grace. What God prescribes is just meat and potatoes for the Christian life. So often Christians can get sidetracked and they can be led down wrong trails by thinking, you know, we need this. If only we had a good youth program, you know, mm-hmm. if only this would happen, if only I had that. And typically those kinds of conversations come from Christians that aren't really giving themselves energetically to the mm-hmm. ordinary means of grace. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a Christian who's reading the Bible, who's praying, who's living as a Christian, trying to make disciples and participate in that as best he can, who is attending the times of worship in the church, times of prayer in the church, who is disciplining himself in giving, in showing hospitality, in fulfilling his responsibilities in work and in his home. Typically, what you discover is those who do that over time,
right,
they become conformed to Jesus more and more.
Yeah, it's not as though, you know, people who partake of the ordinary means of grace, everything is smooth sailing in their lives, but it is a guarantee that when the seas do get choppy, when they get rough, when the storms come, like they will sail through those stormy seas. Mm-hmm. So the difficulty, the suffering, the trial, all that will still be there, but mm-hmm. you're reinforced and mm-hmm. the Lord keeps you. Yeah, it's like, you know, having a healthy diet. If you do nothing but eat, you know, Cheetos and drink Kool-Aid, you know, you're going to get sick and you're going to waste away. But if you feed yourself regularly on healthy food that's going to nourish your body, well, you know, then you're going to have the strength to get through different ailments that you may have, et cetera. And that's what the ordinary means of grace are. It's just mm-hmm. like you said, it's the meat and potatoes. It's the water that we need. It's, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So just reading the word and praying and fellowshipping with the saints and worshiping with the people of God and giving of yourself for the kingdom of God, that's what really keeps one afloat in stormy seas.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about this in terms of medical health recently. I mean, there's probably an article or something that'll come out down the road on this whole deal. But I've been thinking about, you know, the Make America Healthy Again movement. Mm-hmm. And so even our little kids, my grandkids and some of the kids in the church the other day, this time of year, people are giving out candy. And they're saying, oh, this has dye in it. You know,
yeah,
little kids, this has got dye candy. And we got kids that are sensitive to some of those things. And it's interesting. I mean, 15 years ago, I wouldn't have heard that. I mean, that was not a common thing.
5 years ago.
Yeah. But it's common now. And so I was thinking about our church. And we're real simple. I mean, we were simple before simple church was cool.
Yeah.
And we just do simple things. We, you know, gather Sunday morning, Sunday night, have a midweek prayer time, and then people will do discipleship groups and others. But we just don't structure. We don't program for things. Mm-hmm. We just meet and try to take advantage of the ordinary means of grace. Well, I thought about, you know, when you go to a doctor, if you go to a typical trained doctor in our day, let's say maybe 10 years ago, and you say, hey, man, you know, I've got high blood pressure and I've got headaches all the time and all these ailments. And you're 40 pounds overweight and you eat junk food all the time. It may not be unusual. It wouldn't be unusual for a doctor to say, well, here's some pills, you know, or take these medicines and this will help you with your blood pressure and this mm-hmm. will help you with your anxiety or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you go to a holistic doctor or doctors that are more aware today, they're going to say, you know what you need to do? You need to lose weight mm-hmm. and you need to eat healthy. You need to quit eating this and start eating that, because they're thinking about ordinary means that are mm-hmm. healthy and it's right. I think churches can be like that too. You know, here I am a Christian with three young kids and I want to go to a church, say, what do you got for my kids? You know, I need help with my kids. Well, we got children's preschool programs. You know, mm-hmm. we've got young people's programs. We got this, we got this. It's like, oh, okay, do that. Rather than, well, look, your parents, God gave them to you. You need to learn how to parent.
Mm-hmm.
And we can help you to parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be harder. And it's going to be slower. But it's going to be much
Absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely. Are you looking for a gift made by a small company committed to honoring God and their products and community? Are you tired of being disappointed by goods that don't last? Well, Reconcile Leather Co. has what you need. Made from the highest quality leather you can get, sourced and processed in the USA, everything they make is handcrafted from start to finish. From wallets and journal covers to custom leather hat patches, home accessories and more, their full grain leather products are sure to make an impression. So this Christmas, whether you're shopping for a loved one or own a business and are searching for unique wholesale items, Reconciled Leather Co. has what you're looking for. Just go to reconciledleatherco.com and use code FOUNDERS15 at checkout for 15% off a product that is made to outlast even you.
In just a few weeks, we plan to gather here in Southwest Florida for one of the most important conferences that Founders has ever hosted. The theme of the conference will be on revival, and the cry of our hearts during those days together will be, "Revive us, O Lord." I encourage you, if you've not already registered, to plan to come and be a part of this significant gathering of God's people as we hear from Vody Baucom and Joel Beakey and Jeff Johnson and Tom Nettles and myself on this important biblical theme. God has done in revival things that we could only have imagined could have taken place. It has been well said, He can do more in a day through reviving power than we can do in decades. So pray that God will revive us and plan to join us. You can find more information at founders.org.
You know, we've talked about kind of on a personal level, looking back at the year 2024 and making resolutions or considering goals for 2025. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Founders Ministries year in the review, looking at what the Lord has done through this ministry, how we've been able to, through, you know, the support of those who come alongside us to do what we do, what we've been able to accomplish over the past year in 2024, and then just looking ahead at what some of the things that we want to do in the future.
Yeah, well, it's been a great year in terms of book publications. I think we published over 30 titles this year, and the Serious Joy was the year before. I thought it was this year,
right.
But I think it was a year or 2 years ago. But we've had other incredible titles, like we've done the Paul Cox Illustrated Pilgrim's mm-hmm. Progress, mm-hmm. which has been a wonderful hit. We're coming out with, we've it's in production, but it'll be out early next year, the What is a Reformed Baptist mm-hmm. by Tom Hicks, which has already generated a great deal of interest in terms of pre-publication sales. Vody Baucom's Cultural Marxism and Its Fruit, we did. And it just a lot of titles. And we couldn't have done that without people supporting us because we give tons of books away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't forget how many thousands of titles we've given away this last year, but every year we do that, and we couldn't do that without people supporting us.
Well, that's, I mean, 30 titles is significant. I mean, especially considering, you know, the small staff at Founders.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of people here, and the fact that the Lord has helped us to put out that many titles that can, you know, be an aid and of service to churches and to Christians.
Yeah, we had some folks come through the other day and just wanted to see what was going on here. And they said, this is it. You know, this is all you got.
Well, where's your offices?
I know. But that's God's kindness to us. And again, it is through the partners and support that people who share our vision link up with us to enable us to do. So the publications have been great. We had the conference last year in January, which was wonderful and warm. And
Remember Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, what's better than that?
Mm-hmm.
And just the book that came out of that by Tom Nettles,
right,
which was really useful, still very, very useful. We were able to do a mid-year conference too,
right,
here
yeah.
in Southwest Florida on the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, your talk on singles, is that becoming a
I think it's on the on YouTube, and it's on the app, Founders,
you know,
app.
That was one of the best things I've ever heard on thinking through what it means to be a single adult. And Joel Beakey's stuff on
family worship and marriage
is incredible, just incredible. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and that's giving us an opportunity. We think we're going to be able to do something maybe for pastors conference on the Eastern Seaboard in the middle of next year.
Hmm.
But those things we just, you know, we couldn't do without people linking up with us. And so as I look back and see what all we've done, praise God for it. And it's like God's dropping things in our lap here. And whenever that happens, and it's happening a lot, I keep hearing Jesus say, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
So we are stewards
yeah.
of these blessings and opportunities. And going forward, what's that going to look like? Well, I'm very hopeful. I'm IOPT, graduated, first three students.
Right.
One of them's planting a church in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and two of them are furthering their pursuit of education to the MDiv here.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get move toward bachelor's and master's
right.
level training here. We got even greater plans. We hope to announce in the next month or two about that and what God is doing with our further commitment to theological education. It's great. It's good.
Yeah. And how many podcasts have we done this year?
Well, we do one a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we may have done one or more than one, but mm-hmm. so probably 50 or 52 mm-hmm. at least. And I don't know. I know we've had as many as like 50,000 downloads a month as
right.
well. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It is nuts.
Yeah.
And we've been able to have a lot of great guests on and talk about a lot of important issues. We've talked about cultural issues, theological issues, biblical exegetical issues. I love the conversation we had with Dr. Richard Barcelos in our last or a couple weeks ago.
True or false?
The true or false questions. That was a lot of fun. But it's just been it's been a joy to be a part of the podcast and to have these conversations and to have them publicly so that we're not the only ones benefiting from
right,
them.
Right, right. Yeah, when I was explaining to someone recently how these podcasts got going, and I think it was an intern, I'm not sure, but there was somebody just sitting in my study listening to typical pastoral conversations
mm-hmm.
that we would just have. I've done that for as long as I can remember with fellow pastors, and someone suggested you ought to record these things. And so there was a young man in the church, and he had some audio technical skills. And so we got some equipment. So he just set it up in my study and we started doing these recordings. They were just audio.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, well, you ought to video these things.
Because you look so good.
Yeah, that's right. I've got a face for radio, they tell me, you know. But anyway, so that's it just developed. It's just pastors talking. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what this is. We talk about things that we typically will talk about in the life of a church and the life of men called by God to help shepherd the church of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I praise God for the opportunity to have these conversations in a context that can perhaps be useful and helpful, provocative to other pastors and Christians.
Yeah, and we also got a bit of a facelift this year.
Yeah, we did.
The studio did.
That's right.
The studio is looking much better thanks to our friends in Atlanta and the many hours that have been put in by the founder staff here as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a more comfortable, more enjoyable experience for us. And I hope it looks better as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it is easier for us, you know, so it's really made our lives a little more simple, in which we can stand a lot of that. We shouldn't forget to talk about the coffee. We started having our own label of coffee, Know Your Roast. This is from Squirrely Joe's, one of the ones, an entrepreneur that we love. He supplied us with coffee. And man, if you're not drinking Squirrely Joe's coffee, then you're missing out, because it really is good stuff. And so now we have the founder's Know Your Roast coffee label. And I'm holding in my hands the First London Baptist, which is a medium roast. And I think we also have
I've got the light roast, which is the New Hampshire blend, which actually is really good. I know. So we sold out of our second
Confession. The second London is the most serious, most popular, and it's the dark roast.
It is the dark roast. And I get people, they really want to show their creds. They want to be a second London Baptist. And I'm for that. I'm a second London Baptist guy all the way. But man, the light roast, the New Hampshire, is really, really good. I normally drink espresso in the morning and I make my wife a latte. So the dark roast goes well with that. But I'm just drinking a normal cup of coffee. I'm all about the New Hampshire roast.
Yeah. Okay. I hadn't tried that one. I use the First London and the Second London, but I'll have to try the New Hampshire.
Oh, you got it.
Recommendation.
You got it. Really good.
But the little tagline there, drip your coffee, not your babies. And there's a coffee cup with that on there. And I think we've actually inspired our Presbyterian friends to do their own version of that. I forget what they call it, waterboard your babies or something. I forget what it is. But no, they're doing a coffee cup as well. And it's all in good fun.
And this is roasted by one of our sponsors, Squirrely Joe's Coffee. And so go check them out. They're really good, really good roasters. We're delighted to have them on board.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and Squirrely Joe's, we've known him for several years now. So he sent us coffee. He supplied coffee, I think, for the conference at least once, I believe. And he's just a great guy, great family, you know, great entrepreneur, small business, and the kind of thing that we would want to see multiplied many times over throughout this nation and around the world. So connecting with people like that's been really encouraging this last year as well.
Yeah, and he'll be at the conference coming up here in a few weeks as
That's
well.
Right.
Serving, I think, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think he's going to be serving coffee at his booth.
I think that's correct. So that conference is January 23 through 25 on Revival here in Southwest Florida. So yeah, if you're not signed up for that, we invite you to come and participate in that. And if you'd like to come, and finances is a problem, again, through the generosity of donors, we're able to help you with your registration. So if you thought, man, I'd love to go to the conference, I just can't afford to go, don't let that keep you, man. We want you here. It's on Revival. That's, God willing, it's going to be great. I've already talked to Jeff Johnson, one of our speakers, and about some plans. You know, our church for more than 2 years now has been setting aside one day a month, the first Wednesday of the month, for prayer and fasting, for a revival, for reformation. And in talking to Jeff, I mean, he's become convicted about some of these things too, and wants to consider making a call to others. And we would love to encourage as many people as would to pray and fast and ask God to send revival. It's like we've got a reprieve, as we talked about a few weeks ago, in this nation right now. And we can't squander it. This is not a time to coast. This is a time for us to dig in and to build, to retrench, to plead with God to do what only He can do, and to look to the future in our lives and ministries.
Are you a Christian struggling to find companies that align with your values and beliefs? Squirrely Joe's has you covered for all of your coffee needs. All of their coffee is hand-selected and roasted fresh every day by a family of fellow believers. Try them out and you'll savor exceptional coffee while knowing that your investment supports a company committed to following God's teachings and upholding truth and righteousness, ensuring your hard-earned money contributes to the growth of God's kingdom. Stop giving your hard-earned dollars to pagans who support evil. We have a fantastic offer for our listeners. The first bag of coffee is free. All you have to do is cover the shipping. Head over to squirrellyjoes.com/founders to claim your free bag of coffee today.
I'm excited that we are publishing here at Founders Press a new book for children, The Pilgrim's Progress, A Poetic Journey by Paul and Stephanie Cox. You may recognize Paul from his RefTunes work that he's done, and we've partnered with him to provide this very colorful, beautiful rendition of The Pilgrim's Progress for children. Encourage you to get a copy of it and introduce every little child that you know to this classic by John Bunyan. The Pilgrim's Progress is the greatest book that has ever been produced in the English language, and God has used it throughout history since its publication to bring many people to a deeper understanding of the Christian faith and to introduce them to the Lord Jesus so that they too might journey to the celestial city. So if you go to press.founders.org, you can order your copy today.
Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, as we were reflecting on President Trump's victory in the election and some of the things, the good things that we saw even in the state of Florida, just reflecting on God's mercy and kindness to us even in that, and providentially what he seems to be doing right now, culturally, politically, whatever that is, and the opportunities then that that affords us as Christians in the kingdom of God to push the kingdom forward. And so as we think about kind of going into the future and Lord willing, some of the perhaps peace that we can see even in our own land going into the future, what are we looking at in terms of what Founders is planning on doing?
Yeah, well, as I said, we hope to be able to announce a really bulking up and even further advance of theological education. And we want to also try to provide more resources for pastors, to encourage pastors. One of the things that we were convinced of from the very beginning, I mean, this is from the prayer meeting that launched Founders Ministries back in 1982, was this commitment that if you help a pastor, you help a church, at least one church. I mean, a pastor might go and serve, you know, two or three different churches in the course of his ministry. And so we have aimed at helping pastors, recognizing that as we do that, we're going to help other serious Christians and help congregations as well. And so we provide resources that are not just for pastors, but we have particularly been concerned to try to encourage pastors. Regularly, we get pastors reaching out to us saying, hey, you know, what about this? Have you thought about trying to do some things along these lines? We're entertaining different suggestions, ideas. We're working with a couple of pastors right now about ways that we might be able to further resource what's going on. You know, this is, we haven't made this public, but we're trying to buy a building that would give us more space. I mean, this is an office warehouse right now. This
office warehouse studio.
Studio, that's right. Yeah, the studio's in the warehouse. And an opportunity came up just recently for us to make a bid to buy a building that is twice as large as this. And it's not far from here, that would more than double our office space, which we desperately need so people don't step on each other. And I think it would triple our office space and double our warehouse space, which would be just monumental. I mean, we don't... As so many things that God has done, dropping in our laps, we don't have the money for it, but we say, okay, Lord, if you'll supply, we'll step forward, you know, and so that's what we're doing now. And the people who are selling it have been very gracious to us. They understand. We laid out to them, here's who we are. We're a ministry. This is what we do. And they said, okay. I mean, they had other offers, but they accepted our offer with the understanding that we're going to have to raise the money for it. And we don't have the money for it right now, but we believe God can supply that. And they've given us till about the middle of February to see if the Lord will raise or will give us that money. And if he does, then we're going to buy that warehouse and office and then begin the process of trying to renovate, to get everything moved over there, and to turn this facility into classrooms and studio exclusively so that we can do what we do even more efficiently and save greater time going forward.
Classrooms
and
for what?
Classrooms for the IOPT and the theological education that we have planned. You know, and we've got the Fletcher School that meets right across the street, Grace Baptist Church, that we hope to be able to facilitate some classroom space for them as well.
Yeah, we have a real symbiotic relationship with Grace Baptist Church. Founders Ministries, IOPT, Grace Baptist Church, the Fletcher School. There's a lot going on here, and there's not a lot of space to do it.
There's not. We step over each other. In fact, we, you know, we've begun to have those scheduling conflicts that we anticipated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's happened just with our last IOPT course. on biblical theology that Dr. Barcellus taught a few weeks ago. And we knew that was going to happen, and so we just have to deal with it. But if God would be pleased to give us more space, then we can do what we're doing more efficiently and do more that we could do that we just simply can't do because we don't have the space for it right now.
Yeah, so that is definitely something for you guys to pray about, along with us. We would appreciate that. And if you can come alongside us and support us in procuring that building, that would be massive.
Yeah, if you need more information about that, just call the office or email us or something. We'd be glad to talk to you more about it in detail. So looking at what God's done with Founders, you know, we are going to be entering our 43rd year, which is just crazy to me. We had a guest recently at church who's been following Founders a long time. He's in the military, and he wanted to know about that first prayer meeting and was asking about that, and you know, how did we plan to do all the things we're doing now? And so, you know, we 42 years ago, we could have imagined things being the way they are now. This is God doing this, and we praise God for it. We've tried to be good stewards. That's, you know, with every development, every new opportunity, and people asking us, please, could you help do this? And we try, you know, we can't do everything. But as we've narrowed down, kept our focus narrowed, and then think, okay, what does it look like to fulfill this mission in various opportunities? God just has continued to direct our steps, and we've got plenty to do. And grateful for the privilege of doing it.
Yeah, amen. Well, it definitely has been an exciting year. The Lord has done a lot, I think, through Founders Ministries, and it's also exciting to see, you know, looking into the future as far as we can, the things that have been planned, the things that we're working on, and the ways that the Lord will continue to use Founders Ministries. And thank you to all of our supporters who come alongside us to make that happen. This certainly cannot do it without your prayers and your financial support. Well, thank you for joining us today for this conversation about the new year and what the Lord has been doing in Founders Ministries. If this conversation has been helpful to you, please do like and subscribe, and also share with friends that it might be a help to them as well. And we will see you next time.